Welcome to Drunk on Comics Special Edition, interview with Brian E. Lau.
Plus, it's fucking Chicago, man. You have to walk everywhere.
I walked.
So exhausted that after that weekend.
I hurt my foot. I, like, tore something in the bottom of my left foot, and I was laid out for
I heard
for,
you
like,
talk
weeks.
About that.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucked, man. It was brutal, but, I mean, Chicago is awesome, so I'm not going to complain that much, but...
It's because he's super old, and he gets injured easily.
It's true. I broke bones. The osteoporosis.
There's more to come with that super oldness.
All right, guys, so we got Brian Lau, as we discussed earlier, on the line with us for one of our drunk dials. Is that what we're going with?
Oh, yeah, it's yes. Drunk dials.
And we're going to talk about his new Kickstarter for Staunch Ambition. So, Brian, give us the elevator pitch, as you would for the comic.
Okay, someone want to do the background music? Yeah, the elevator pitch. You're trapped in an elevator with me, and one of us is the devil. No.
That's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, man, not a good road to go down. All right, so the pitch. The basic premise, I have my tagline is, welcome to the new enlightenment. And so we had the first enlightenment with the scientific age and technology. And as technology advanced through technology, man enters into the thought dimension, into the supernatural realm. And so the implications of mankind entering into this supernatural realm with advanced technology is the basic overall story arc and premise of the book.
All right. And so how did we get to this point then that we need to enter a new age of enlightenment?
Well, it's in the preview issue that I think I sent you guys a copy, and then I do have an actual prologue to the this sci-fi story takes place in would be like actually take place in our future, so it's not in some galaxy or some far far away place. But
we don't need to put those copyrights there.
Can you edit that out? So, even though I got J.J. Abrams aboard, we might not want to cut that. So, you guys, did you guys see my Kickstarter video yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, J.J., can you believe it? All right, so anyways, watch the Kickstarter video and see how J.J. Abrams is supporting this. So, but I do have a prologue to the story that kind of goes into their past, but technology just advances and they happen to get into this supernatural realm. And as technology advances, one of the ways as it compounds upon itself, it's just gets to the point where, and what I believe they can actually enter into this other dimension. So it's not like it's an intentional, like they're trying to, I don't think so much as it kind of happens. But one of the other behind the scene plots is Staunch Industries, thus the name Staunch Ambition. Staunch Industries in my book built the Ambition, which is the space station that the story starts out on and is a big part of the story. What is the secret behind their success? So,
okay. So, Staunch, not a word you hear a lot. In modern...
I guess not. I mean, I'm not a grammar... I'm the worst person at being good at grammar.
Well, welcome to Drunk on Comics.
You're on the appropriate podcast right now, Brian. Tony makes up words.
Is this like a
right
support group for bad people speaking bad grammar?
Yes.
Me think so.
All right. Yes. But I think I could tell stories well, but I don't know. I know the word staunch, but I've come to find out that a lot of people are like not necessarily used to that word. So
No, it's not a word I've used in a sentence in ever, maybe?
you just use it.
Well, I just did, just today.
getting your yearly dose of staunch in today.
There we go.
All right. You're going to go staunch on it.
You know, I staunch think that should forward. Be your next tagline.
Oh yeah, staunch on it. I got two songs. I have two songs, original music written for the book. I think we should change the title from staunch theme to staunch on it.
I think that would probably sell really well.
I do.
I actually wanted to talk to you about the songs that you have that are going along with this. How did you come about the decision to even include original music with this book?
Well, I tinker around with the piano for years, and by no means am I a musician or whatnot, but I tinker around with everything. I've done a little bit of animation, and I like to mess with music. So I just had a couple melodies that I've always wanted to have produced into actual music. So when I decided that this story was just compelling me, I just kept writing notes and building the story. I decided I'm going to go forward and just tell the story. I was like, you know what? I love music. You know, everybody does. And I'm going to have this music produced. So I actually searched Kickstarter for some groups that offered as a reward to write a song for you. And I came across Elements of Cadence. And they just signed with a label, and they recently opened for Drowning Pool, which is, you know, that's a pretty good deal. I just was impressed with their quality. And so I was like, you know what? I sent them my melodies, which is, you know, kind of funny if you've seen, you know, I'm just video of my camera or phone and then, you know, trying to play it. Cause I can't even play my own melodies cause I don't practice them. But then, based upon that, they wrote the alternative rock song I have. And then a friend of mine from Michigan here, Jason Conley, a Michigan artist who has a new album out called Chemicals. He did another video for me for my book, and then also wrote a very beautiful instrumental electronic song. Ooh.
So you have two songs now. Do you have any ambitions to make a staunch record?
Ba-dum-tsh.
Right. We'll see. I mean, if I'm a huge music fan, so you know, I would love to continue dabbling in music, but I'm gonna right now go with these. If someone approaches me, you know, I have other friends or whatnot, and they want to collaborate, I'm definitely for it. But I'm not necessarily gonna go out of my way to pursue it at this point until the animated series of my book comes out.
There we go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that next up on the hierarchy? Book and then animated series.
We'll see. I'm gonna try to do the book at the best. I mean, being independent, and it's such a challenge. So I think top priority is to just get the book at the best quality I can. So, I mean, of course, as you write a book with sequential art, you're storytelling something cinematic or visual. So, yeah, it's in the back of your mind, or it's you imagine it with the camera angles and the editing. But I'm going to really just put every effort I can into the book being solid. So,
well, obviously the story seems to be compelling, but visually, holy cow, like, you have some good talent working on this book.
Wow, thanks. Yeah, we got the main artist is Tyler Thal, who is not a graphic or comic book artist. He's a concept artist working with Sony right now for PlayStation 4 games. That's what his dream and passion is. In fact, he's actually working under the man's name, the man who designed Darth Maul. Darth Maul's mother? Have you heard of that character? Martha Maul.
Martha Maul.
Martha Maul.
There's a scene where they're like both going to kill each other, and he's, your mother's name's Martha? And then he's like, mine's Martha, too. I don't know if he's heard about that.
I guess all is well now.
We're best friends.
Well.
Oh, sorry, I don't want to go off into that trail, but no, Darth Maul, he actually did the concept art and designs for Darth Maul, so
oh, nice.
Tyler is spectacular. I'm not doing a superhero book, so I didn't want to do your traditional comic book, even though I love traditional comic book art. I also, one of my favorite artists is Bill Sienkiewicz, who I was going to have do my cover. But he said he'd do it, and I just couldn't financially get it to work, and I'm just like, I just cried for a week.
Aww.
But I mean, to have him do the cover. So, but I just love that painted fine art look. So.
Yes.
There's always issue two, Brian. There's always issue two.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah,
well, and that's what, so this is what the Kickstarter is for, is to print issue one, right? And then yes. to fund the production of issue two.
Future issues, yeah. Yes. We've already started production of issue two, but yes, I have put so much money up front, all my money for the preview issue to build an audience, to get issue one completed. So I just have to finish lettering a few pages and then design the exclusive version, the 40-page, which I'll be combining the preview issue with the so you have your prologue and stuff in one book, and then it has the variant cover by Tyler Thaw. So, yeah, the Kickstarter is to print and to continue production, because I put all my money up front, but I just, you know, I just have to start getting it out there, and I'm going to need some income to come in to help produce this, so...
So obviously we hung out with you at C2E2, but you were there showing off your preview issue as well. What kind of reception did you get from people and the crowd that was in there?
I had like a constant line of like 1,000 people, and it was a lot of fights breaking out, and they had to call the security. No, yeah, there's so much to. I jokingly, that's like there's so much when you walk around C2E2. Just we weren't in Artist Alley this year. I was last year, but. It's this crazy amount to see. So I have a mind reading challenge that I often will do. You know, I'm like a carnival guy, you know, where you're walking by and I'm like, I could read your mind. But when you get people to stop and then go, okay, what's this about? I'm still getting used to the idea of like people who are like, wow, this is great. I love it. It's beautiful. And then like a year later, because I did C2E2 last year, when's issue one coming out? I love the preview issue, and I'm like, it's coming out now. So, yeah, the response is so positive. You know, people really like it. So,
awesome.
Right on. So how much time do we have left on this Kickstarter for people to throw money at it?
We have, I think, 20 or 19 days. That's not... as much time as you guys think, so don't wait.
No, yes.
Looks like you're off to a pretty good start, though, right now. Looks like you're 34% funded, so that's pretty awesome for you.
Thanks, yeah. But, well, the research I've been looking at says that you're on track. There's a Kickstarter tracking website where you go to, and it has a chart that gauges your progress based upon daily activity and whatnot. So, yes, but if we... I got some breaking news. I haven't announced this. I'm going to announce it fully, but I have on the preview issue, I had Koi Pham did the cover, who works with Marvel and Disney, and I just love his work. So he agreed to do an original sketch of Azarus, one of the main characters. So I'm going to be throwing that up on the Kickstarter.
Ooh.
And that's just going to be a one order. So.
Oh, only one person can get it.
Right. So I'm going to be putting that reward up soon. And I have some early bird specials, not where there's a discount, but where you can get numbered versions of the exclusive. That exclusive 40-page issue is only for people through Kickstarter. I'm not going to be selling those at the conventions or anywhere else. So the exclusive book is going to be only through Kickstarter. So.
Nice.
Well, besides the Kickstarter campaign going on right now, I kind of want to go back to the beginning. How long have you been having this ambitious staunchness to the
He's just going to keep trying to throw those into sentences.
Do you see why I named it Staunch Ambition? It just works. It's a staunch book. I'm working staunchly on this with a lot of ambition.
There you go.
But how long have you been, though, working on this?
Well, actually, the character Azarus is loosely based on when I went to college. I had to do a comic book cover, and so that's a long time ago. We won't, I don't know, 20,
like 2 years 20, ago, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
two years ago times the 20. So, or no, I'm sorry, times 10. Let me figure that out. But the character, kind of the basic character concept. Was there this Azarus character who's a genetically engineered mix between human and animal DNA made specifically to be a worker clone without sexual organs and a limited self-awareness. So that character started out in college with kind of the same visual, but was more superhero-ish. When I was younger, I wanted to do this. And so not putting any money up front and just trying to collaborate with other artists, that is that would always fall through or just never really went anywhere. And I'm glad it didn't. So I put it on a burner for years, and the concept changed into the sci-fi, and then the overall end game of my story came to me one time, and I thought, you know, I haven't seen anyone do that. And so I'm like really intrigued by it and kept writing that. So that started happening maybe, that's about maybe started 7 years ago. And then about 2.5 years ago, I really seriously started working on this with doing the, okay, what is the title going to be? Staunch Ambition, right? And so if you look at the title, it says Staunch Ambition, but on an angle, you can see Station.
Yes.
Which is kind of ties into the story, as I mentioned earlier.
Right, because so. The Ambition is a space station.
Exactly.
Owned by the Staunch Corporation.
Staunch Industries. You got it.
Wow. I did my homework.
You're good. Even with all that drinking.
I have reserved space in my brain for that doesn't the alcohol doesn't get into.
It's not cluttered with malted hops.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a rare gift.
I know. So. It's my mutant power.
You're like a hamster with the pouches. You can put the food in on the side of the pouches,
yes,
and then so
exactly.
Like your brain has got like pouches on the side.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, exactly.
The visual of that is just like just making like, my head explode right now.
My brain has pouches.
That's amazing, Brian. That's amazing.
So I read somewhere that this the character, one of your main characters, was originally your brother's character in the game Champions.
Right, role playing game.
Yes.
If anybody's not familiar with it, I'm sure everyone knows about Dungeons and Dragons. Well, there was a superhero game. I don't know if. I never hear about it anymore, but
I think it's
role playing.
Done. Yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah,
there probably are no superhero role playing games that I know of, but this was cool because you had a sheet that had a generic, you know, muscle guy there, and I'm not sure if they had the woman, but I'm sure they had to, but generic guy there, and you could draw over the top of it if you want what the design looked like, and you would make, you know, add powers, and then for every power, you had to add a disadvantage or a weakness of equal value.
Fun.
And yeah, it was pretty cool. And we would do that like Dungeons and Dragons. And my brother had came up with this character with these like orbiting crisscross that would go parallel to each other around the head and the chest. And I needed to do that comic cover for college, which this comic cover won first place that year. Thank you.
Ooh, nice. Very nice.
I think I won like a gallon of ink because back when I went to college, we actually had like light tables and, you know, paper, you know, you guys know.
And abacuses.
T-squares. And, yeah.
You're writing with like a feather quill.
Actually, we did. I had a quill inking set that we would use to do calligraphy. But
nice.
So, anyways, the cover was based upon that character that my brother had put together, and then I turned it in from these just it's like 40s looking kind of style character to where they were actual spheres with tails orbiting around them, and that is basically your thought energy. When I said earlier, they entered into the thought dimension. That's like a visual representation of your thoughts or your spirit, and they would change size, shape, and color based upon your emotional state of being or whatnot. So,
we're kind of like the Scions in D&D with the orbiting crystals.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm not remembering that specific, but I think I know what you're saying.
You're talking to Tony. He's like the king nerd child around here, so he
king.
Would know those things.
He has a crown around here somewhere, I think.
For Burger King crown?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I think it is.
No, an actual crown.
He's probably got one of those, too. I wouldn't be surprised.
If you could only see this room.
Yeah, I noticed you don't got the video on Skype there, so.
No, because you would just be looking at me, and nobody wants to see that this early.
Brian, we have faces for radio.
Oh, man.
We do a podcast, not a vlog.
Video.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Okay, so the Kickstarter has about, what, it's a little more than halfway?
We got a long way to go still. Okay. I mean, yes, we had a good start. I'm over 2,000. I have people who are interested. It's people go to it, and people who love independent work. This is a book, at least, you know, is it should be something that's worth looking at. And but we do still have a long way to go. Thus why I'm hitting the, I'm honored to be on your show and trying to get out there. Being an independent publisher is so tough getting it out there. You know, I don't have a paid marketing team or a publishing team. So we still have a ways to go, and I have exclusive offers. I have an offer where, you know, you guys might want this one, considering what you just said about your faces. You can have your face in the book. Huh? You know, and it is a dramatic page, so you might, you know, I mean, guys, based upon what you said. But no, anybody, there's also the, you know, you can be infamous.
I don't think we want to ruin your book in that way.
And what happens to this character, your face, in issue two will be well worth it.
No. It sounds
I don't want to give it away.
I was going to say, it sounds very ominous.
How far out do you have planned for this title?
Well, I don't have it. You know, it's not fully scripted. I have the full, you know, I have the whole story idea. And then the character ideas. I have the, you know, Azarus's story arc. I have Riel, which is the female character who is one of the supervisor, a lead supervisor on the space station, and her backstory, which is just, you know, it's just a really, to me, an intriguing human story. You know, it's not. I have those stories, but I haven't written every detail out yet, so it's a little organic. Plus, I'm co-writing it with the. You know, I'm not, as we talked earlier, I'm not sure if it was off air, but grammar and spelling are bad for me. I think is a good way to put
it. Aren't you the letterer of this book?
I'd be a good storyteller. Read my book. But I was a little nervous about going in and, you know, authoring a book, you know, out the gate. I'm, you know, it's not my trade. I'm an artist more so. So I collaborated with a published author, John McNichol, who has several published books. And so I'm doing a lot of the writing, but we're working together on it. So, you know, that adds to a little bit of the organic nature of the book. And then, of course, you go from that to the artist's input. So I'm not exactly sure how many pages we're looking at here, but I'm just going to keep... I have some sub-stories, and then I have the ultimate epic story. So depending on how things go, I might settle with just doing the great, you know, sub stories with Azarus and Riel and Nimrod and the rest of the gang in this story, and then Staunch Industries, and then hopefully I can do the epic story as well.
So I have a random question for you in regards to that. You said you've been kind of working on this story for several years, correct?
Yes.
What made you want to tell it in comic book form versus some other form? I know, like literary or something of that nature.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I'm not an author. That's one reason. I would really be collaborating with somebody. I want.
A ghostwriter?
So, yeah, ghostwriter. Yeah. No, but yeah, comic books. You know, it started out with the character, you know, did start out more of a superhero character. And I'm so glad I never, you know, did that as a young man. I mean, this story has matured, but it's just the perfect fit with everything. I've been going to Motor City. Motor City is the con of all cons. And I've been going there since they were at Dearborn Civic Center. And so I would enter into the amateur art contest for black and white color, whatnot. And I won several times, you know, different prizes. And from that, I did a couple. I colored a couple covers for Vortex, an independent company called the Hall of Heroes, that Trent Kanuga and Ethan Van Schiefer came from. You know, you guys familiar with Ethan Van Schiefer?
Oh yeah, he was just in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, we karaoke
exactly.
With
him. Oh, do you?
We did at Grand Rapids Comic Con. Yeah.
I gotta make it to one of your karaokes. I wanted to sing like "I Feel Pretty" or something.
Oh, you have not been to one of the infamous con karaokes yet?
No, I haven't. I missed it.
Brian, you have to put that in your schedule.
You're missing out. It is like the highlight of the con.
I know it is, and I was like by myself the 1 year, and so I was like, I'm not gonna just go by myself. And then, so this year I will be there at Motor City because it's the premiere of my issue one.
Yes. So you're gonna have? Are you gonna have a table in Artist Alley?
Yes, yes, I have a table. I'm friends with the Miriam and Mike, and that my brother. I think you guys know. I know Derek Becker knows him. Dennis Lau is one of the main workers for Motor City. He coordinates all the celebs going to and from the airport to the convention. He's been a volunteer there for years, and now he's one of the lead workers. Motor City is encouraging me and supporting me in ways. So it's my con for many reasons. Oh, yeah. I've been going there since.
We love them. We've volunteered for them for many years. We've, sponsored them and did podcasts for them, and we've had tables there too. They're such great people that work over there to help support everyone else too.
Right, and to support independent endeavors like Drunk on Comics or Staunch Ambitions. So, I'm just proud to be associated with them. Are you guys having a table there this year?
No, not this year. We unfortunately are kind of flying guerrilla podcasting free.
Yes. Yes, we're in a transition mode right now. So
yeah, so we're just going. Gonna have a little bit more fun and little like having a table is work. I mean,
yeah.
So I think it's almost like C2E2 was fun because. You didn't need to be at a certain location, people watching it when you're going to interview. We could just kind of go around. I'm actually kind of looking forward. This is going to be the first time in many years at Motor City that we haven't really had a table or had to be somewhere. So kind of looking forward to that.
It's got to be more effective. I mean, doing what you do, you're looking for interviews. You're looking to talk to people.
Yeah, being anchored down to an actual table is kind of a pain in the ass, actually. Especially when you want to go out and talk to people because you have to find... For us, yes.
For you,
it's perfect. For us, it sucks.
No. I'm gonna follow you guys around and do it like that, too.
You should. Mm-hmm. Every time we interview with somebody, you just give them your preview issue.
You could get like a giant picket sign and just walk behind us. It'd be great.
Jump right in and tell them, give them my elevator spiel.
Yeah, Staunch Ambition here. Here we are. Here we go.
I'm staunchly going to come into this conversation.
There we go.
I don't even think I'm using a word right.
No, it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Oops. Oh, well.
Okay.
But it's got pretty pictures.
Yeah, yes. It does have very pretty pictures.
The story is very interesting too, and it is well written. And I think now is the perfect time to get I feel like sci-fi comics are really finally getting their place in the general comic world. For a really long time, it was just superhero, and now is the time where a sci-fi comic can really come up and have its place with everything else.
I was told that this was had that classic sci-fi feel. It wasn't like a blending of genres, but it just had that like serious sci-fi feel. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm just there's no intention of exactly doing it a certain genre, but that I guess that does fit. So in sci-fi, obviously, comics in general or sci-fi, you can think of a lot of cheesy stuff, and I think for years had bad reputations. And sometimes I'm a little cautious to call it my book a comic book because some people have preconceived ideas with it. And obviously not us or people in the industry, but family and friends who are just ignorant to it.
Oh, you're doing a comic book?
I think it's becoming more socially acceptable though. Also.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at the movies. Even if it is superheroes, I mean, it is. With the movies being just groundbreaking.
All right, Brian. So here's the question of the hour for the Drunk on Comics crew. Okay. If you had to pair your comic with a beer or alcohol, what type of drink would you pair it with?
Yeah, I was a little concerned about this, but I think I figured it out. You guys remember sometimes where you just... I remember I was at a party and they're like, hey, what beers do you have? They go through the choices and you try that beer that you never tried and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is great. Well, years ago I tried Blue Moon and it's pretty common beer now, but that has to fit because Blue Moon, for two reasons, ties into sci-fi and they also did a campaign, Artfully Crafted is their slogan. Oh. And they would show art, which I was so impressed with. They would have, on their label for a while, art. I don't know if you guys remember this, but promoting different artists. And so kind of like how on U-Haul has like art on the side of their, you know, these trucks. I just have a, I went to school for graphic and commercial arts, so I noticed that kind of stuff. And I just have a good respect when you see something designed that way. So Blue Moon would be the beer to drink with this.
All right. That's a good pairing. That's a good pairing. Out.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. And we can't wait to see the success of your Kickstarter. We're definitely staunch supporters of you. So
yeah, so everyone, go to Kickstarter, search for Staunch Ambition, search for Brian Lau, Brian E. Lau, I think is how
you
have
it. Yeah, I put the E in there because you might get somebody from across the world.
The Kickstarter goes to April 28th, so everyone make sure you hop online and throw some money at it before then.
I spent too much just on the video alone. At least take 5 seconds and go check out the
watch the video.
Yes. Check it out.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Brian, for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Stay thirsty.
Thanks, guys.